children's church today. There's no lighter fluid or matches in here. But I'm going to ask Tatum to come up, and Chase and Brianne to come up, and the kids back here to come up. Come on up for just a brief moment. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm just going to talk to you a little bit about something. The Bible says, let me pull this up here. All right, come on around this way. Natalia's coming. Natalia's here. The Bible tells us that if we ask Jesus in our heart to be our Savior, that He changes us. We become a new person. We become different inside. A lot of times people think, well, our just be different on the outside. Our try to make people think that I'm a certain way by the way I behave on the outside, but not on the inside. So I'm going to change my clothes a little bit here to see if I can look different than what I really am. Okay? And so first of all, let me see what this is. Oh, not going to wear that. Put that down. That would not be a good idea. That would damage some people. But, let's see. Maybe I'll put this on because, one, it'll straighten my back. Two, it'll get rid of my gut. And that's where I need Chase to do something for me. Real quickly, pull that. Pull it tight. Look, this is over the pull. Pull. Okay, ready? One more time. Okay. There you go. My back is straight. My gut is in. So far.
Can't breathe.
What? Don't ask me any questions. So far, I'm doing pretty good here. Now, you're pretty much in shape. So now, let's see, I think I'll put this on. Cover up this. Do I look better? Huh? Straight back, no gut. Do you look younger? No? I would hope so. Come on, tell your pastor. Yes, you look better. You look younger. I need you to tell me that. Okay, now I got this on. By the way, I'm no longer pastor. I'm Zeke. That's my name. I'm Zeke. And I now have hair. Yes. I have hair. I don't have glasses. I do wear a good Christian cap. I think. Can't see nothing. And I'm a little bit cold. Okay. Now, do I look like the same person?
No.
No? Do I look the same to you? No? No. Good. Thank you. But I look good, don't I? Yeah. Yeah. That's the only thing that's good about this thing. Right here. It's important. But you know what? People can make themselves look any way they want. We can look like Christians. We can talk like Christians. We can know things about being a Christian. And we can be a Christian inside and know all this stuff and know how to talk and know how to behave like a Christian or go to church like a Christian. But unless we allow God to change us in here, to be the person that God wants us to be, we're not the Christian that God wants us to be. And so we have to be willing to change, and that's part of the Christian walk, is that by changing, like I am going to do right now, that was nice while it lasted. So, on the outside, I can look like somebody else. But God wants us to look like He wants us to on the inside. We ask Jesus into our heart. He's already changed us. We're Christian. But as we follow Jesus and love him, guess what? He changes to be more like him. And that's what we need to do, right? Is live for Jesus and let him make us into the person he wants us to be, right? And we do that by doing what we know he wants us to do. And God is glorified. Okay? So, aren't you glad I don't have hair now? Amen. Father, thank you for the kids. Thank you for them coming up. And I hope that they understand that people can look a certain way and seem a certain way, but it's our heart and how you change us in our heart. And that's important. We have to ask you into our heart as our Savior, and we have to be willing to follow you. And so, Father, I pray that you help these kids in particular to just love you and follow you and grow into the person and the people that you want them to be. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Go sit down now. Thank you. Yay. Yay. White hair. Okay. So, haven't we all seen that before? Sean used to say in Sunday school, we talk Christianese. We learn the terms, but people aren't accustomed to the terms. We know how to look and to act, but that doesn't mean that's who we are. And we have to be willing to let God change us, because he's already changed us by coming in our heart and our life, right? And so as we become a new creation, 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us we're now a new creation in Christ Jesus because he lives in our heart. But then he wants to develop us and shape us and to make us into what he wants us to be. And so as we begin this new study called the Kingdom Life Series, and as Don mentioned earlier, the title of the message this morning is Now or Later, we have a choice to either live now the way God wants us to, or just depend upon living how God wants us to in eternity. And eternity, it's not going to be a struggle. We're not going to have to wonder if we're living right for God in eternity. Because in eternity, we have no sinful nature. Zero. On this side of heaven, we have to decide whether we're going to stand strong and follow Christ and be the people that God wants us to be. Some days, that's easier than other days. But yet, God is in our heart, God is changing us, God is shaping us and making us into what he wants us to be. Last week, the last series of messages, we're talking about our union with Christ, that we have become one with Christ in him. But now we're going to look at the level of our relationship with Christ. It's one thing to know Christ as our Savior, we know that. It's another thing to live and to grow in the level of expectation that God expects us to as we follow him. We need to be people that are living out the truth of the word that we've been taught and that we've received, so we can be the light and the salt in the world that God intends for us to be, that we can be the sons or the children of God. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I pray that you're just bless this, carry it, preach it, use it, and not just this message, but as we go through each of the messages that are in this message series, and help us, Father, to receive and to hear and to apply the things you'd have each one of us to receive, for we ask it in your name and for your glory, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we're going to be, the next series of messages, the total number of messages, including this one, is 8 messages. And we're going to be looking at the level of our relationship with God based upon our behavior. And a good way for us to do that is to look at the Beatitudes. Now, I'm going to say a terrible thing up here, and you can pray for me. And by no means am I undermining God's word at all. But I have never gotten thrilled over the Beatitudes. I do not know why. Boo is right. It's God's word. But you know, there's an intent in the Beatitudes that's of great value. And I believe that the Beatitudes is a passage of scripture that could be taught from all sorts of different angles. Different applications in a sense. But today we're going to look at how we behave now in our walk with Jesus this side of heaven and what the effects of that is for us in eternity. And of course, it affects who we are as believers in Christ now in this world. Jesus describes on the Sermon on the Mount something impossible for us to accomplish on our own, outside of him. We cannot carry out the character of Christ in our life aside from Christ. We can't live in the power of God outside of the power of God. We can't live the way God wants us to if we don't know God as our Savior, and so forth. And so the kingdom life is only possible if we are united to the King. Our union with Christ, and I love this, is the gateway to this new life. We have a union with Christ through faith in Christ Jesus. We have him. We know him. It's not just a methodical religious thing that we've received him or asked him into our heart to be our Savior as a religious act. It's a personal receiving of Christ into our life to where we know him, that his Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we really are the children of God, that God really does live in us. And so we have that union with Christ that gives us the possibility of living a life of kingdom life. And kingdom life is living the life that God intends for each and every one of his children to live. That's what God wants. Absolutely. But then our union with Christ is the gateway to this new life. That's the application factor. We know that through Christ we can apply what he tells us to do. And we can learn to live as Christ would have us to live. Life in the kingdom is the main theme that we see in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And the kingdom life is Jesus himself, right? Who embodied and inaugurated a new way of living. Jesus walked the face of the earth. He had different thought process. He had different ways of doing things. He responded differently than human nature, what people were used to responding. And so Jesus presented a lifestyle, a focus, a thinking, a reaction, a priority in life that was different than those around him had ever seen before. But that's what God calls us to do. In Matthew 3, 1 through 3, it says, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, or it's near. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. See, the kingdom of God, John was saying, the kingdom of God is near, it's approaching. That kingdom was Jesus. When we become Christians, when we are in him, and of course being in him means that he's in us, we become part of that kingdom of Christ. Now and forever. But the odd thing is that kingdom of Christ is a lifestyle that God wants to teach us how to live. And that's interesting. We're part of the kingdom, but it's a lifestyle application. And that threw people off in the day. John the Baptist was baptizing people, the baptism of repentance. He was saying, repent. That was the mission. Repent. And he would call them to that place of repentance. He would call them to that place of being preparing their hearts to be ready for the Messiah, the kingdom of God that was coming. And as he was baptizing people in the Jordan River, he saw Jesus and he said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And so he was preparing them, and then he acknowledged him, and then Jesus began his ministry on earth, and people had to choose, in my heart being prepared to receive Christ, and now am I going to implement the ways of Christ and his teaching in my life. And that is a lifelong endeavor for each and every one of us. Another example of God's kingdom presence is in Matthew 12, 28. Not only was Jesus at hand or near, okay, like John saw him coming, but here we see in Matthew 12, 28, but if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. The physical presence of his kingdom was evident because the power of God was being demonstrated. Jesus is right there in front of people, casting demons out of people by his power, by his authority. It was a spiritual matter. And so God is saying, look, physically I'm here. That kingdom that has been preached to you throughout the ages that is to come, especially to the people of Israel, is here. Look at me. Know the scriptures. He said to the leaders, if you had known the scriptures, you would know who I am. But they didn't know the scriptures. In Luke 6:20, it says, then he lifted up his eyes toward his disciples and said, blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. And I love the fact that it says yours is the kingdom. That means that when we are in a humble place. Now, there's a twofold picture here. We have the blessings that are on the poor. But I tell you what did Jesus say? It's easier for a poor man to receive Christ than a rich man to receive him, right? It's easier for a poor man to receive Christ and to enter into the kingdom of God than it is for a rich man, because a rich man, and the illustration was, would have to go through the eye of a needle, that it was that much of a struggle. And so a poor man, generally speaking, people who are poor are looking at basic necessities more, and their own personal needs and their hearts possibly are more open and more receptive because their lives are not secure as many otherwise find their lives as being secure by the things that they have. And so we know that people who receive Christ now have salvation, the kingdom of God within their heart. And the kingdom of God is not just a noun, a time, a structure, that type of thing. It's a relationship with Jesus. It's learning how Christ teaches. It's learning how God thinks and learning how to apply that to each of our lives. And so Jesus was physically in the midst of the world during his ministry on earth. It was 33 years. I would have loved to have watched Jesus in his ministry on earth. But you know what? You and I have an even greater blessing. We have the Holy Spirit. And the identification of God in our life and working through our lives, that people who were around him when he was physically on earth had no clue of the wonder and the power of God in their lives, that could be in their lives. You and I now have the Holy Spirit living in us, and all those that put their faith in Christ before have received the Holy Spirit into their lives, and we experience the power of God working in and through us. I want to look at two verses that summarize Jesus' earthly ministry, Matthew 4:23 and Matthew 9:25. Matthew 4:23 says, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. And then in Matthew 9:35 it says, and then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. It was reiterated, but it's almost like the two covers on a book, the front cover and the back cover. And in between, we find in chapters 5 through 7, well, 5 through 9, in Matthew chapters 5 through 7, we see Jesus' teachings. And then in Matthew chapters 8 through 9, we see a collection of the stories or the accounts of his healing ministry in people's lives. And you and I know that healing ministry is not just physical. It was spiritual. It was emotional. It was a healing that God could bring that encompassed the whole human being. Matthew's point is that the Lord who teaches like this in the Sermon on the Mount is the same Lord who calls us to follow him through life and depend upon his power. On his power. We got that up there yet? Matthew's point, the insert, the fill-ins. Matthew's point is that the Lord who teaches like this in the Sermon on the Mount is the same Lord who calls us to follow him through life and depend upon his power. His personal work and power are inseparable from his teaching. If we're going to follow him and we're going to yield to his teaching, we can only do it through his power in and through us. We can't do it in of ourselves. We all know that. So in this course of messages that are coming up, as we're looking at today's message as an introduction, we're going to be looking more closely about what Jesus taught in the Beatitudes, what he carried out in his teachings, what the purpose of it was. So this, we'll go ahead and read this in Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." As I was saying before, in the Beatitudes, you can look at what God instructs us to do, and we can look at the product of what we, you know, what the reward is, or how happy we are, what we're going to receive as a result of applying the principles of the Beatitudes to our lives. It affects us now and how we live for him, and it affects us in eternity as well. And God has given us wonderful promises there. And so, I mean, there's one where it says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Well, right now, this side of eternity, I don't see us inheriting the earth. That's kind of a, what? But we do know that God, in eternity, as he's described in the scriptures, that there's a new heaven and a new earth, and we shall live and reign with Christ. Right? And so in one way we might say, well, we're not inheriting the earth here now, but we will then and there. But then it says, be merciful and you will receive mercy. That's a now. But also in the future, I'm wondering what mercy, how much more mercy can God give us? He gave us his son in eternal life. How much more mercy can we receive in eternity? We're going to see the wonder of what God has for us that we never knew. I mean, the Lord told the Apostle John when he wrote the book of Revelation, he said, "These things do not write." There's a section that he said, "I do not want you to reveal these things." There's a mystery of things that are not yet told in the scriptures that we have that is going to be a blessing for us. Is the way at least that I see that. So in your next fill-in, I want us to notice this, that all of the promises and the Beatitudes are for the future as a result of practicing what Jesus taught his disciples to do now in the present. We're united with Christ, like we looked at the last series of messages. Now we're seeking out a different level in our relationship with him. Simply put, we're seeking out to grow and grow and grow more in Christ by applying the principles of the Beatitudes. So notice that all the principles of the Beatitudes, isn't that a weird word, Beatitudes? You know? Hey, I don't like your Beatitude today. You know, it just doesn't sound right to me. But it should be two words, you know, to be an action attitude. Your beatitude, right? So that notice that all the promises of the Beatitudes are for the future as a result of practicing what Jesus taught his disciples to do now in the presence, in the present. So what's the meaning of doing now and affecting the future? What is the meaning of this pattern that we do now and that we receive in the future? Simply put, these are the things we can count on when we are a part of God's kingdom work. One, comfort. There's comfort in walking the way, in the walking in the steps of Jesus. Earth ownership. I don't see that this side of heaven, but I do see it in eternity. Okay? Satisfied righteousness. Those who hunger and thirst shall be filled. I mean, when we have the fullness of the richness of the righteousness of God in us, there is tremendous joy. Let me give you an example. When we know that we're right with God and we're feeling so close to Him, it's a joyous place to be. Is it not? When we're there. And God is saying, look, you're going to be filled. This side of heaven, if you desire me and walking in my ways, you're going to have that joy of the righteous character and blessing in your life now. But you're also going to have the fullness of the righteousness of God for all eternity. And that's promised to every believer. That's part of that mercy, verse 4. We're going to see the mercy that God has for us that we certainly don't deserve. We see it this side of heaven, and we're definitely going to see it then. Number 5, vision of God, or shall see God. You know, Scripture says that no man has seen the face of God, lest he die. Yet here, spiritually, God is saying, the more we apply the principles that He teaches us, the more we understand Him and see Him in our life, the more we know Him. But there we shall see God in His full glory, which no man has ever had before. Another mercy that we don't comprehend. And then finally, we all have the title sons of God. Sons and daughters, children of God. And so as we look at through this series of how the Beatitudes are to be applied and practiced and the effect that they have on our lives now and for the future, hopefully and prayerfully we're beginning to identify with the fact that we are the salt and the light in the world that we live in, and that we are not a popular people and that we are a minority of people. And that the world hated Jesus, and they will hate us for standing on the principle of God's word, which is contrary to the principles of the world of darkness that we live in. Yet God will give us a fullness of joy as we apply these Beatitudes to our lives, and it will glorify Him. Jesus is telling us through the Beatitudes that the kingdom life is present with His disciples now, and fully realized later. Reading that again, Jesus is telling us through the Beatitudes that the kingdom life is present with His disciples now. He lives in our heart. We're part of His kingdom. And He has a kingdom life practice for us to live. We are part of a royal priesthood. We are part of we are a royal family. We are part of a kingdom, that Christ is our king, and there is a standard in which God calls us to reflect, that reflects Him, representing Him and His kingdom as His children. That's what we're to be now, but we won't realize the fullness of the richness of that blessing until later in eternity. The Beatitudes are an announcement of how fortunate people are who really possess Christ in their life. We're fortunate that we have the privilege, of course, to know Him. But we're fortunate to have the privilege that God can shape us and change us inside, like I was telling the kids. You can look one way on the outside, but God wants to change us in who we are from the inside, that we reflect Him. What a great privilege that is. And so the Beatitudes contain an implicit invitation to become godly people. If you walk away from the message today, just say, look, the Beatitudes is God's instruction for you and I to become godly people. That's not an impossibility. That's a reality that God expects for us to have, not by our power, but His power that lives in and through us, as we apply the principles that He teaches us. They instruct for us on what it looks like for us to be to live the kingdom life on earth. And so, as we go through this series of messages this next few weeks, 6-7 weeks, my prayer is that the end result will be how wonderful it is to be part of God's kingdom. How wonderful it is to be God's children. How wonderful it is to be different because of Jesus who lives in my heart, our heart. Praise God. Yes. Let's go to the Lord. Father, I want to thank you for your kindness, your love, your plan, your sovereignty, the way you work, how you shape us and how you mold us and how you intervene and work in our lives. And everything that you do is for your honor and your glory. Everything that you allow is for good, to bring you glory, even when we don't understand it. And so, Father, I praise you for that. And I pray as brothers and sisters in Christ that we will grow more and more deeply in love with you as we discover the blessings that you have for us, like the blessings in the Beatitude. Blessed are those who apply these principles. We ask, Father, that you honor this. If there's someone here today that has never asked Jesus in their heart, and they really feel that pulling in their heart, that interest, that focus that says, you know what, I'm hearing this. I'm hearing about a relationship with Jesus. I don't really understand it, but I want it. And if there's someone in this sanctuary or someone in the sound of this voice through the internet or whatever, that if you are there and you're listening and you're hearing, God wants you to receive him. He wants to come into your heart. He wants you to be part of his kingdom. He wants you to experience him and his blessings. So, Father, if there's someone here that needs to make that decision, may they come forward and ask and say, Pastor, I want to pray and ask Jesus in my heart. Now, Father, encourage us. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Word Infusion audio podcast. We would like to encourage you to do three things. First, please email us at thewordinfusion@mindspring.com and tell us how this podcast has ministered to you. Secondly, we would like to encourage you to join the Word Infusion Facebook page by clicking like at the top. This will provide you with announcements of podcasts, live online Bible studies, and live online discussions. We will also send you Bible verses. Lastly, we would like to encourage you to share this podcast and the Facebook page info with your friends, family, and church. Thank you once again for being with us. We look forward to hearing from you.